I want to play this because we had him on earlier, and it's worth playing again. John Lester, here he is at 36 years old. He did not have a great year last year, and he joined us a little bit earlier, and with the Astros cheating and everything like that, we thought it'd be a perfect time to have John Lester on. He's always engaging, and we asked John, look, at 36 years old, a longtime veteran, is it still exciting for you to go to spring training?
No, man, I love spring training. It's a good time of the year. You know, obviously last year we had a longer off season, so, you know, to get back out here, get some warm weather, and get around the guys is always fun. You know, I think when you, the more and more you do, you know, you kind of figure out what works and what doesn't work and kind of that routine. But yeah, man, it's good. It's good to be back. It's good to be around the guys. And, you know, a lot of energy, a lot of focus at camp right now. And I think guys are excited to go.
John, how is camp different with David Ross in charge versus what you experienced the last several years with Joe?
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of comparing apples and oranges. You know, and I think they both have their unique ways of going about business. And I love the way Joe did things when he was here. It was always a pleasure to have camp with him and the season and all that. You know, I think Rossi just being new to everything, I think is, you know, he's going to be more energetic. He's going to be kind of more in your face as far as some things. But the way camp's going right now is great. I think guys are excited. Guys are focused on the stuff they need to get done. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you can really compare. I mean, it's just two different styles that kind of go about things in different ways and both very positive ways.
John Lester joining us. It's Waddle and Silvey on ESPN 1000. More to that, I mean, have you noticed a difference between David Ross, the player, and the guy who came over with you and you've played with in Boston versus David Ross, the manager, or is he the same guy?
Same guy, just different title. I think that's what's been fun to see so far. He expects the same thing that he expected out of me when we played together for 5 days. So, you know, the accountability, the effort, the preparation, the focus, the attention to detail. And that was stuff that he always prided himself on. And he made sure that I was locked into those as well on the days I pitched. And that's carrying over to him being kind of the same guy as far as on the field with us right now. One thing I've been surprised with is you know, he hasn't changed because he has a new title. And I think that's hard for anybody. You know, when you get promotions or you move up and to not feel like you have to change that, the stuff that he has done to this point in his life and in his career is going to work in just a different title.
Can you still bust his chops or can you not do that now because he's your manager and not just your catcher?
No, you can. I mean, he's still, I think that's what's going to make everything unique. You know, I think he between the lines and when you're here, you know, he's your boss and you're respectful of that and, you know, all that. But when it comes down to it, we're also, you know, you're still buddies and you still have to keep everybody accountable. You know, that goes for the players to the manager, to the other coaches. So, yeah, we can give him a hard time, joke with him. He's still the same guy. You know, I think when the lights turn on and we get going, it's, you know, things are going to change a little bit, but I think it's all going to be for the good.
Waddle and I were debating this yesterday in the wake of a lot of comparisons because of Joe and now because of David Ross. You've played for at least a handful of managers. Like, how much of a difference does a manager make at the end of a day, whether the club was good or not?
I think a lot. I mean, I think, you know, the managers, the team is the extension of the manager. You know, and I've been fortunate enough to play for a lot of good ones. And so is Rossi. And I think he's using those experiences from guys like Terry Francona, from guys like John Farrell, you know, guys like Joe, obviously the most recent one, to kind of, you know, kind of figure out his way. I think the biggest thing is you earn that respect from your players and all those guys have. And Joe definitely did that. And, you know, obviously see Rossi doing that as well. So, yeah, I mean, we're just an extension of him going out there and playing and hopefully we do that well for him this year.
John, Javi talked about preparation. I know the front office has talked about accountability the last year or so, but From a veteran's perspective, why didn't you guys get to where you needed to be and wanted to be last year?
I mean, if we knew that, we would have moved on further than what we did. You know, baseball's a funny sport, man. That's why we play 162 of them. And, you know, I've been a part of, you know, close to 100 lost teams. I've been part of teams that have, you know, won 100-plus games. I've been a part of teams that have missed the playoffs by one game. And, you know, I've been a part of a lot of things. And I think if you knew what made each team special as far as the ones that go on and actually win, then you'd be able to duplicate that every year or replicate that every year. And it's just hard, man. You got to battle injuries. You got guys that try to fight through things throughout the year and they can't. And you got to have a little bit of a luck. You got to have everybody going. You know, like I said, if it was one thing,
right,
you could put your finger on it, we would fix it and move on and be better. And sometimes you just can't fix those areas. And unfortunately, we weren't able to. And you know, we as a result, we had a longer offseason.
Personally, John, how do you feel about your 2019 performance and how will that affect you going forward and what you expect in 2020?
I mean, I was obviously not very good last year. You know, kind of an example of a couple different things that, you know, if I could have put a finger on it either earlier or put a finger on it at all, I would have fixed it and hopefully have been a better pitcher than I was last year. But, you know, bad year. Learned a lot about, you know, moving forward of, you know, getting older and figuring out what I have and don't have and what I can and can't do. And, you know, you just learn from it, move on. And this year I feel good. Everything's been going well. My off-season program was great. Throwing actually was good starting this year. So, I'm looking forward to 20, you know, not only personally, but for this team. I think we're in a good place.
That's good to hear. John Lester joining us, Waddle and Selvey on ESPN 1000. You just mentioned getting older. I mean, you're 36. So, like, you know, the question comes up, hey, what does John Lester have left in the tank? What do you respond with?
I mean, a lot. I mean, like I said, I feel good. My programs went good this off season. You know, I feel like I'm in a better place right now than I was, you know, this time last year, as far as physically, mechanically, the way the ball's kind of responding to what I'm trying to do on the mound right now. So, I mean, I don't know if that translates into anything going forward. You know, I mean, that's the whole point of this season and working to get to that. But, you know, right now feels good and hopefully can continue to build off of what we've been doing.
John, when we talked to you last year at spring training, you told us, look, you lead by example. You're not often a rah-rah guy. Chris Bryant this offseason has gone through a lot of trade rumors. You dealt with that in Boston, and you did get traded. Will you give or have you given any advice to Chris Bryant on how to deal with all this?
I think Chris is fine. He's a big boy, you know. I mean, I think the first time you hear your name, you get a little surprised and you kind of ask some questions. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's done a very good job of separating the business aspect of this game and then the personal aspect that we all really love to be a part of. You know, it sucks sometimes when you have that reality of this is actually a business and, you know, the Cubs are trying to run the Cubs the best way they can. And if that was to involve him in a trade or any of us in a trade, you know, it's hard at first, but it's something you kind of figure out as you go. And I think he's done a good job answering questions about it. I think he feels like he's in a good place. He looks good. You know, in drills today, it looks like just normal old Chris out there smiling and enjoying the game. So, I mean, if he ever asks me for advice, then I'm there for him. But I think when somebody is dealing with it pretty well, like he is, you know, you don't want to beat a dead horse for lack of a better term.
You hit a couple of times during our talk right now about 19. And I thought as a Cubs fan, after the 19 season, that Theo would really go to work. Are you surprised at the lack of change at all with personnel?
No, we got a good team. I mean, I think people just sometimes want change to change. You know, no real reason behind it, just the fact that you just want something new. We have a very good team. I mean, we have three guys that are going to be perennial all-stars every year, or should be perennial all-stars every year. Now, with that being said, we need those guys to be healthy. You know, I need Chris Bryant to be healthy. I need Javi to be healthy. I need Riz to be healthy. And when they're able to stay in their legs and be healthy in that aspect of their game, then you'll see the talent, you'll see the production come out. You know, you got you coming off an injury year and then kind of trying to figure out himself again. And I think he did that, and I'm excited for his 20 campaign to see what he can really do and get after it and get Kimbrel back into what he is. You know, that's a hard position we put him in last year to come in. That's never really worked out, and I'm excited for him. I mean, man, we got a good team. I mean, I know we have some questions, and all teams have questions. You never have a full 100% roster where you're like, yeah, this is the guy at every position. But I love our guys. I love the way we compete. I love our attitude where we're at, and everybody seems in a good place and getting stuff done and working hard.
John, bigger picture, what bothers you most about this Astros cheating scandal?
I don't know, man. I want to get back to just talking about 2020 and the game that's in front of us. And I know it sucks, and we're never really going to probably have full answers on it. But, you know, like I've said before, there's nothing we can really do about it anymore. I mean, the commissioner has come down and made his decisions on punishments. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. We just got to kind of – obviously, I'm not very happy about it, but
right.
I don't really want to continue right. talking about it. It's just it's getting old now for me.
Do you feel that a lot of the guys at camp feel the same way? And do you think it'll be fairly easy when this season begins to move on from this, and this is not going to be something you guys are even thinking about?
I don't think anybody here is thinking about it other until somebody asks them about it.
Right.
You know, I think we're worried about the Cubs. I said that the first day. Like, I'm worried about how we can get better as a team, the Chicago Cubs. I don't care about any of the other 29 teams right now. Because at the end of the day, we got to take care of ourselves, and we got to play as a team and play together and play hard. And that's what I care about. I don't care about anything else that goes on, you know, around the league right now. I'm focused on these guys and this team and, you know, getting off to a good start and doing the things that we need to do.
So it sounds like, just to wrap up, that you think 2020 and the 2020 Cubs could be holding up a big piece of metal at the end of the year.
Yeah, how about that one? It's not a bad looking piece of metal, is it? Yeah, I mean, I'm very confident in our guys. I don't see why we can't. I mean, I don't understand. I know we had a bad year, but you know, I don't think we deserve to be written off yet. I think we're a very talented team. You know, all 30 teams are World Series contenders starting day one. So I think we're just as good as anybody else. And I think our attention to detail and preparation and accountability and just everything that we're doing right now is going in the right direction.
John, we always appreciate the chats. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
All right, guys.
That was earlier today. John Lester joined us. Really good stuff on the Cubs. There's lots of baseball to discuss, but Waddle, we've got some football news, and can we be closer to this 17-game schedule that we ever thought possible at this point? We'll discuss that and bring you the news that we have coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Are we getting closer to an NFL 17-game schedule? Dan Graziano, who's been all over this, he's a reporter for ESPN. See him all over SportsCenter on Get Up. Tweeted this about 15 minutes ago, Waddle. It's a whole thread.
Let me have it.
He says NFL owners are meeting Thursday, that's tomorrow, in New York City to discuss the current CBA proposal. It's collective bargaining proposal. All 32 owners are scheduled to be there, and it's possible a vote could be taken. 3/4 of the league's owners have to vote yes in order for a new CBA to be approved.
And just for a little clarity, at the end of the 2020 season is when it expires, correct?
Yes. I so believe, like yes. We still are under
right.
the old...
So if they don't come to an agreement, there will still be football.
Right, right. There's no, like, this is an early thing. So let me read you all the entire thread. He says, NFLPA player reps and executive council are scheduled to hold a conference call on Friday to discuss the current CBA proposal. And it's possible they could vote on the deal at that time. 2/3 of the 32 player reps would have to approve the deal then. Then the vote would move on to the full group of all the NFL players. And if a majority of them voted to approve, along with 3/4 of the owners, a new CBA could be ratified in time for the start of the 2020 league year, which starts on March 18th, which is a month away. This goes on. One source said the NFL CBA negotiations were, quote, on a knife's edge. Wednesday evening. Some players remain staunchly opposed to expanding the season to 17 games, which the current proposal would allow the league the option to do at some point between 2021 and 2023. NFL players' minimum salaries would rise by about 25% under the current proposal, according to sources. Deal also would include a higher share of revenue for the players, as well as changes to the drug policy and discipline policies.
They don't give you details on how much more a higher revenue share. Believe that, what are they getting now? 55 cents on the dollar?
I don't even think it's that high.
Really?
No, I don't. I'm not sure, though. But so he basically concludes this. He says, Graziano wraps up by saying, basically what remains to be seen is whether the players have secured enough concessions from the owners to convince enough of the players to agree on an expanded 17-game regular season. We could know by the end of the day on Friday. So this thing all of a sudden has popped up in the last week or two where, like, we didn't. It really wasn't on anybody's radar, was it? I mean, we've
no. I don't think either of these sides. I think listen, especially with Major League Baseball doing what Major League Baseball is doing. I think what the NFL and the Players Association are in agreement on is there is an enormous thirst for this product. That while baseball can still be referred to as America's pastime, there is no question that the NFL is America's passion. And there's a ton of money, and the money's going to go up even higher with the acceptance of gambling, I think. How much? I don't know. But that's going to throw more money into the pot in a lot of different other ways. So why the hell are we not going to come to terms on an extension when there's a lot for both sides to actually gain? Now, I wrote down a list here. Players get and owners get. And really, I know this. I mean, it's just a couple of text messages or tweets from Graziano. I'm so very interested to see what these bargaining issues are.
And the story's up right now, too, by the way. It's not just in the tweets. They did put up the story. So the minimum for players with 1 year of experience would jump from $585,000. This isn't the share that you were talking about, right. But just to clarify for in real dollar figures. Current minimum salary would jump from $585,000 to around $700,000.
Okay, that sounds like a ton, and it's good for players, and that's great. That can't be anywhere close to the focal point of this deal.
But
it is good.
In the story, he says, but sources say the players who are opposed to a 17-game season have pushed back and asked the union to demand further concessions from owners, particularly in the area of off-season and training camp work rules, which is weird. I mean, how much less work can they do?
Well, here's what they're thinking now is that if you're going to add a game, then you need to take the stress off of my body. We can't be playing 4 preseason games, which, you know what, most guys, starters, aren't playing anyway. So that's really insignificant to me. There's only how many padded practices that you're allowed anyway in training camp? Isn't it 7 or 11 or 12 or something like that? It seems to me that you need significantly more than just more relaxed time in training camp and in preseason to add that 17th game to the mix.
And while I'm with you that obviously there's not a whole bunch of padded offseason activities when you consider what there used to be and how training camp has changed, but if you're a player and this is all you know,
right?
And something on the table is, hey, less work. You don't have to,
right.
You know, like, why would
well,
you?
Well, I'm getting more work, like, on the end, other end.
For us as consumers, we want the product to be better. But right. If you're a worker in the cog, you don't want to do more work if you don't have to, right?
Right, absolutely. I'm just surprised how quickly, like, the last time we did have a work stoppage, it was during the off season, but there was a work stoppage that they could come to an agreement a year early and we could be moving quickly to a 17-game schedule. Now, they still have to, the owners are meeting tomorrow again to recap, and then the players would possibly vote as early as Friday. We couldn't know all this by Friday if a new collective bargaining agreement is approved. They're trying to get this done by that March, the new league year day, which is March 18th.
Right. Listen, this is like a $17 billion entity at this point, I believe. It says here, CBA owners get 52% of football-related income. I mean, look, Yurko's got a really good handle on the percentage that the players get, and he could provide the numbers better than I could, because I believe he was a player rep in the past, wasn't he? And has followed
was
this.
Was he the rep? He was the
I
actual
thought he was, but okay. Maybe he wasn't. Or maybe he was just educated himself about
he's
all
of it.
He's
our player rep now.
He is.
Yeah, he's our union leader.
But it's to take on that 17th game, they're really going to have to sweeten the pot, and it's going to be other things as well. And I hope this is the time that guys look to the future and not just tomorrow. And by tomorrow, I mean really tomorrow, but down the line, and realize that no deal should be signed unless they actually agree as a group that anybody who meets the criteria of a vested player, 4 years in the league, from that point forward in their lives, if need be, they will get league-sponsored, purchased health care insurance. It's something that they should bargain for themselves and for those that have gone in front of them. And think about it as well. When you're retired, like, I don't need the league to pay for my health insurance because I get it through our union. So it's not 100% of the retired players that need the health care benefits to be paid for in this negotiation. It's those that aren't employed or find themselves in a dire situation and don't have that. I just hope amongst all the issues that the players are addressing, that's one of them, because these guys at some point will benefit from that negotiated part of the deal.
What is the thing that affects the fans and us the most is, like, all the talk about what the minimum salary is. None of that really affects us or the fans. But the 17-game thing, what I'm most interested in is how that schedule would work.
Sure.
Because obviously you would have to play one more home game or one more road game. And I don't know if it's possible to have all those neutral site games. I don't know what they would do with a schedule. I think that's going to be easy. Then about, you know, as far as the preseason, like we just talked about,
literally,
that's the most interesting.
I think you would have to. The unbalanced schedule, it seems like a nightmare. You'd have to play 1 year, you've got 8 home games. The next year, you got 9. I don't see it. I don't see how you do it otherwise.
You say no?
How do you do it otherwise?
Neutral site game.
Oh, who's playing neutral site? And how do you get fans,
you know,
to a neutral site?
Maybe the London games become neutral sites.
Well, how many teams are going to go? I mean, so every team has to go overseas?
They want to do one in Mexico. They want to, you know, they already do 4 in London a year.
Do they do 4?
Yeah, there's 4 London games right now.
It's playing college stadiums. Live at the big house. It's the Bears and the Rams.
I don't think you sell.
You can't do 8-9. Like, for
that's what I'm saying to you. You also can't go to Illinois to play.
It's not. I don't think because it's not about. It's not about the home gates. It's about the television schedule and having an extra week of inventory, like an 18th week that you can sell to the TV network.
Right. You're right. And then, like, we've talked about this. Like, the one thing this does do for a fan is it adds 2 weeks of games.
Right.
It only adds 1 game to your schedule, but they would probably have 2 bye weeks.
An extra bye.
So you get an extra bye week and an extra game, and therefore you have 17 games played across 19 weeks.
We have
16 played
over 17
weeks. You
would also eliminate at least 1 preseason game, if not 2 of them.
And when are we going to play our fantasy football championship game now?
It
Nobody
be,
plays
it
in week 17.
Week 16.
No, but nobody plays it in week 7. For most leagues, it's already week 16.
I meant the 16th, the second to last. I think it's the second to last, right?
I don't know. How many weeks are there going to be? Are there going to be 18 weeks?
Truth is also, I have not heard even a whisper of how the league would address the uneven number of games.
No, neither have I. No. And it's a good question for maybe Graziano if we can book him for tomorrow or something like that. But again, so the news that you need to know as a fan is that they're talking. They've been exchanging proposals that the owners could vote in New York tomorrow. Tomorrow, all 32 owners could be there, and then the players could approve this thing on Friday. But stay posted for all of that. Also, stay tuned for Mark Gene Greco. He's up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Jim Greco is here, and he's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, and there's so much to discuss. We could have a 17-game NFL season coming up soon. The CBA deal moving along. There could be a vote by the end of the week. We have baseball stuff. The Astros scandal still is going on. Cubs have a new leadoff hitter. His name is Chris Bryant.
Isn't that something? From leaving town to leading off.
Is it in like a matter of a week?
Yeah.
Did anybody ask Blago about his thoughts on Chris Bryant leading off?
They're going to have him throw out the first pitch, aren't they? Marquis going to give him a seat in the booth.
Can you tell me about the news business?
Buy him a seat?
I saw Chuck sitting next to him on the flight home.
Wasn't that unbelievable? Chuck Gowdy, excuse me, Chuck Gowdy owns every story he's on.
All right, so explain this to me. So he gets pardoned, and he's out of jail in Colorado, right?
Right.
So he goes to the Denver airport last night.
Yeah.
And, like, people think they've got exclusives, like the WGN newscaster is walking and talking, and then there's, like, a CBS person walking and talking.
Next thing you know.
And then the next thing you know, Blago sits down in first class, and there's Chuck Gowdy sitting in the seat next to him?
Well, actually, Chuck had a first-class seat, and I think he gave it to somebody else, and then he moved to coach. They were in coach in the bulkhead.
Yeah.
The first seat there. And he sat with Blago the entire time. I mean, Chuck is just amazing. You don't ever want him knocking on your door.
No.
But, you know, he owned that story just like he owns every story he's on it. I don't know. Blago's just me. He hasn't missed a beat in 8 years.
It's the first time.
It is so bizarre. It is so ridiculous.
How about this stat?
First time since?
2007, when an Illinois governor hasn't been in prison.
Yeah. Well, we have four, right?
Yeah.
Four of them.
2007. It's been since then. Since there's been an Illinois governor.
Yeah, we're two,
because George Ryan was in jail before.
Right.
Sign your donor card. I'm George Ryan. Yeah, well, Mr. Pritzker isn't going to jail. He's doing a good job.
All right, we're not going to talk politics.
No, it was a cool story. I just wanted to know whether or not
Chuck
Gowdy
was next to him.
You also liked his gray hair, and whether or not he should die.
I thought he was going to dye it on the way out. He cut himself shaving.
Would it have been funny if he had dyed his hair last night and he met the media today with the old...
Yeah, well, that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, so what happened? So he held a press conference, and he had a Kleenex the whole time with him because he had a shave. He cut himself shaving.
Well, he said the razors in prison, for good reason, are pretty dull. And he got a new razor, and he shaved for the first time completely, sliced his chin up.
You would think that it would be like...
Just put a Band-Aid on it.
Well, no, you would think you'd get cut by the razor in prison, not the clean one, the good one
here
at home.
Well, you had to probably scrape more, and then he tried to scrape with the sharp one.
Trust me, you don't want to get cut in prison.
Okay? No, I don't think so. Right. Well, did Chuck tell you, or do you know... Just from experience, what that jail kind of looks like?
From experience?
I've never been in jail. Is it jail, or is it like really,
is it a dormitory?
Blago was talking about golf? Blago was in there talking about he was with, you know, murderers and drug dealers.
Really?
It's a minimum security prison. He's got earbuds with his shirt off for 8 years.
Right. So, but...
You know. I don't know.
I
haven't been in a maximum or minimum security prison.
Well, that's not a maximum security prison in Colorado.
It's minimum.
Yeah.
It's minimum.
Yeah.
There's a
What's the name of that prison?
I think there's a putt-putt golf course there. I know. We always joke about
what is the name of the
chipping
prison?
And putting green.
I'm not sure, but you know, Jared from Subway, he's there.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's a lot of sex offenders there.
Let's go to this, the old sports roost.
You
want to
talk about sports?
Yeah.
Well, hey, Mark, what's on your mind?
This is what happens. Yeah. Yeah. So,
you ever seen a grown man?
Yeah.
So, Chris Bryant, like, I did think that was funny. A week ago, we were talking about trading him for Nolan Arenado. Today, we're like, hey, we solved our leadoff spot. It's Chris Bryant.
Oh, Cap started the trade rumor. So,
no, Cap started the rumor that he was offered a $200 million deal.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was the other wrong story. I can't get all the wrong stories straight. I think it's wonderful to try something new. This is, you know, this is Rossi's first big, bold move as manager. We'll see what happens. Shake it up.
I like it.
Try some new stuff. Yeah. I do, too. Rizzo batting second. Okay, and then you just change your cleanup guy every game. See how that goes.
Well, so what? Who would be batting third then? Javi?
Javi's,
I would think so.
I would say that Rizzo's two, Javi's three, Schwarber's four.
Contreras is five.
If you want to go.
Oh, yeah, they didn't trade him either, did they?
No, they didn't do anything. No. But we talked to John Lester earlier, and John Lester says, hey, we're good still. He's not mad that they didn't make any deals.
No, he's actually happy that everybody's back.
Right.
So, no, I think it's a good move.
Look, I think they're every bit as likely to win the division as anybody else in that division. I don't think the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to do anything.
No.
But that whole thing's up for grabs.
Hey, everybody loves your Reds, Tommy.
They do, but listen, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I'm excited that they're finally going to be something that everyone is going to pay attention to, and I'm going to front run the hell out of it.
Speaking of pay, you're going to drop You're going to drop 54 bucks a month for Hulu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Why not?
All right.
So I want to ask you,
well, the premium package I think is 60.
Okay,
go ahead. It's on you.
Can I have some of your money?
No. I don't have any more money. They took it all away from me.
You really got me spinning today.
Yeah, like, I know.
What happened? Did something happen in the sports?
No. I'm a little contrary today.
Yeah?
Well, don't
You know what really bothered me? The Illinois-Penn State game last night.
Why?
Adam told me not to even talk about it, but I am anyway.
The Illinois-Penn
State? Did you see the presentation? Some producer decides, hey, let's go all XFL, and we're going to do triple screen. Split screen the two coaches and mic them, and then have another screen with the game with a play-by-play guy and an analyst. And the entire game is the coaches yelling and screaming and in the huddle. There's no commercials. And it's just noise.
So you didn't like it?
No. You know, what you do is, if you want to do it that way, you just mic both coaches and you record it all. Then you pick out the best chunk and you play it out of a commercial break. But we had to listen to every huddle, every screaming and yelling, every massaging the refs and then yelling at the refs. And then, you know, it's just like, okay, enough. Just give me little snippets here and there, but not the entire game.
You know what I was thinking about with college basketball last night is I had it on the last two nights because there's been no NBA.
Right.
And the Hawks have been off since being on this West Coast trip. So I've had very little to watch sports-wise at night. So I was thinking while watching college basketball, or at least, you know, having it on as background noise is, it seems the older I get, the less regular season college basketball I watch.
Yeah, I think that happens to everyone. People get jacked up for March.
Last year I watched the most because of Zion, though, and Trae Young the year before. But this year it's been when there's no true star where I'm tuning in for to see how he's going to be in the NBA. It's sort of I wait to March Madness.
Well, when Dayton becomes the Cinderella team in the Final Four. Well, they're not a Cinderella team. They're sixth
in the
nation.
What's their record now?
They have two losses.
Wow.
They're like 23-2. They're sixth in the nation.
That's what you get for playing in the Mid-Eastern Regional
The Atlantic 10's not bad.
My bad.
I mean, it's not the Big Ten, but hey. Dayton could beat a lot of Big Ten teams.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, Sylvie. Like, I'm waiting for the tournament to catch. You know when I get excited? I get excited for the conference tournaments. That's when my interest is peaked, and that's
the playoffs.
That's when I go.
Playoffs.
It's time to go at that point.
Then you got to do your homework. Then you got to go back.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, who's doing what?
Yeah,
fill out the brackets.
No. Are you over the top still angry at the Astros, or you've moved on?
I want to move on, but...
You're not going to be able to move on because when we find out about the Red Sox, day, are we going to revisit this?
We're waiting for them, but a lot of people have forgotten or don't want to realize that the reason the players aren't punished is because that was all kind of bargain.
Right.
So, you know, it's a mess. Manfred is just going to be the whipping boy forever.
What do you think, from your... Everyone's got their own perspective. What would satiate your desire to have equality kind of descend upon this issue? Well, what would be the right decision?
Hugh Darvish had an interesting comment about, hey, people have had their gold medals taken away for cheating. Take away the...
So you're a vacate guy.
Yeah, vacate it. Asterisk it. The Houston asterisk.
Asterisks.
There
that's
you go.
Good. I mean, it's got a good
ring. Do you know, they're still, yeah. As Sylvia was saying, they're 8-1 to win the World Series
this
year.
I know. Hey, they're good.
Right.
They could have
done it.
They're
going to get everyone's best.
They could have done it without cheating, and they might. That's the only way this goes away is if they win it again.
Yeah, they're not. I don't think they are without. Their best pitcher is gone. He's a Yankee
Garrett
now.
Garrett Cole's now
yeah.
with the Yankees.
Yes.
Well, I just wonder, like, what is everybody's appetite and energy level to get all amped up again if, in fact, the Red Sox penalty
I think
story
it's just
comes
be,
out?
We already had the Astros story, so now we're all deadened with this now. Now when the Red Sox get punished, it's going to be like,
Really? Do you think?
Yeah.
But here's what I want to know. There was a guy on hold, but we were talking about the breaking NFL news where there could be a new CBA approved within days here in a 17th NFL game coming in the next 3 years. But I want to know, like, from this guy who was on hold and he hung up, I want to know from the guys who want this to go away, you're sick of it, you want us to stop talking about, why? That's what I want to know, and I want you guys to discuss that. We'll do that
amongst
with Mark Gene Greco coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Why do people want to move on? I don't understand that logic. I know you get tired of hearing it, but it's a major story. But we have another major story as the NFL news continues to come out with this CBA discussion, maybe getting close to the finish line. Shefty just published a story on ESPN.com that if this deal is ratified before the new league year starts within the next month, that the extra playoff team per conference will go into effect here for the upcoming season. So instead of 6 playoff teams in each conference, you would get 7 teams in each conference. You would only get one division winner getting a bye, meaning there would be 6 total games on wild card weekend instead of 4. You would get 3 games on Saturday and 3 games on Sunday.
Do you guys know who would have made the postseason this year if the system was implemented this year and not the next year?
The Rams on the NFC.
The Rams in the NFC is correct.
And then in the AFC. I'm trying to think who else was good here.
Well, you didn't have to be good to be the 7th
right.
team.
Who did the Titans beat for the AFC? Was it
Steelers?
Steelers were number 7. Yeah, so the Steelers, the 8-8 Steelers would have been
but the Bears would have been in the hunt longer.
Yep. Yeah. As you said, Tommy, it's just the money
it's
grab
about money.
Continues.
Listen, I get it. I'm not going to resist it. I'm not going to stomp my feet and pound the table. I get it. It's more money. It's the way it is. I asked the question, at what point, when is enough enough? And then the simple answer is never.
Because they had it right with 16.
I'm with you. But again, I was the guy that didn't think the extra point rule was a good one, and I've come around to that. I don't know. I think the NFL is perfect with 16 games and with the current playoff
structure.
We're
going to get all lathered up on that first wild card weekend.
And then we're going to move on, just like the Astros scandal. Fans get angry and...
Yes.
Then they're exhausted with their hatred, and then they just want to watch baseball. And our country is still addicted to football. So no matter what the NFL does, we're going to eat it up. We're going to complain, and we're still going to eat it up.
I'm not going to complain. When I say I'm going to get lathered up on that Saturday or Sunday, you get 6 games.
It waters
we're
down the product.
We're going to have a noon game, a 3:30 game, and we're going to have a primetime game on Saturday and Sunday.
Let me ask you a game, and I know a question, and I know we've always subscribed to the theory, more football, more better. Did you find yourself this year thirsting for a third playoff game on Saturday and Sunday? I didn't.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't have resisted
you will,
it.
You will still get a now, in addition to adding a team that's worse, right. You will have that two seed playing in the first weekend now every year.
Right.
So you will get a better team playing that first weekend
as
well.
Yeah, but you still have the participation trophy at the bottom. It's like you cheapen the product. Half the league almost is going to be in the playoffs.
Who was the two seed in the AFC that would have played the Steelers? Was that the
Kansas City Chiefs?
So the Chiefs would have played in the first weekend.
Yes.
They would have had to win an extra game.
Mm-hmm. And the Packers were the number two seed in the NFC.
Uh-huh.
And they would have played the Packers-Rams first round. That would not have been
bad. I'm not going to rage against it. I'm not thirsting for it. Right. I won't resist it, but I'm not thirsting for it.
It's overkill. It's overload. It's all over money.
If you're going to do this, though, it's not over. I'd rather it be football.
You're gonna be fine with it.
Like, listen.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'll be fine with it, but there's no need for it.
Because I like football more than baseball. If you're going to, if you make me choose between adding teams to the postseason, I like this one better than the proposal from baseball,
where
they were talking about seven teams in the postseason in each league.
Baseball, you have to go back to 144 games or 130. Instead of 162.
This is good. We need that noon Saturday game on the first wild card weekend of the playoffs, because otherwise you're just waiting around watching pregame games.
You're not going to be able to see it anyway. You'll be at Alex's soccer game.
No.
You'll be in the mountains.
Don't start going to ski races until after the playoffs.
I guarantee you.
Trust me,
from experience, it may be your daughter's dance. It may be your son's ski race. You're not going to be available.
No, they know
on that
during
Saturday.
The playoffs, their activities are on the back burner.
No chance.
You see?
Here's what I want now. I want two preseason games, 17 regular season games. It sounds like it's coming. So the puzzle is two preseason games instead of four, 17 regular season games, and two extra playoff games.
How about on that day you go outside and get some air and throw the football? Get a little exercise.
Well, how about we get some air on the August days?
It's going to be like Xavier and Evans in the year 2525.
Mark,
the kids are going to be in test tubes. You're just going to be a head with no arms and legs on the couch.
You and Dion will have to cover two
intravenously
meaningless
games. 95 hours of football.
You're going to get two less meaningless games in the preseason. That's better. Your August now will be less football.
Mark's not covering preseason games. He hasn't covered preseason games in 15 years.
I think the last time was when I tried to interview you coming off the sideline.
You didn't.
When was that? 91?
Yeah, that's.
Tommy, you got a minute?
No. I ain't gonna go lay down.
I'm spitting up blood.
Go lay down. I mean, look,
who's Tommy?
I still don't know how they're going to
do the 17.
Regular season schedule thing.
I know. That's weird.
I don't think
you're not playing that many. Neutral site games.
No,
you're not.
You can't
give that many NFL players just like substandard locker rooms. You're not moving them to a college arena.
Geek Stadium playing some.
That ain't happening.
No.
Yeah. That ain't happening.
Viking Scott in Crown Point. Hey, Scott.
No.
Oh, no. No, don't say oh, no, Mark. Come on. Anyway, this has been going on for how long, the current format? Why change things? We're football fans. We love the game because in football, it's like 35% of the teams make it. Why do we need to make a change for the small percentage that want a couple more meaningless games? Let's put our 12 best teams in. You get to play 16 regular season games. And let's see how it plays out. Why do you got to ruin a good thing?
Nothing matters. It's just about the owners making more money.
Yes, this has nothing to do with the fans. None.
No.
And what this has everything to do with is how do we generate more income and then split it up in a way that everyone gets.
They're going to screw me over because I finally went to a Super Bowl. Now they got to change crap. Come on.
But look, Scott, you should be happy that you got to see the Chiefs when they didn't have to play an extra game, because maybe that would have banged up Mahomes and you wouldn't have won the Super Bowl this year.
I'm assuming in 2 years they might go back and that Super Bowl is going to be in Vegas. Everybody will need at least $10,000 for bail money. Can you imagine a week in Vegas for the Super Bowl between everything else in Vegas? Holy cow, arrest me now.
Think about this. think about this as well, okay? Like, there's going to be more on the line in week 17, which will really be week 19 because there'll be two byes. It'll be week 19 of the season, right? Won't
it be? 19.
So you're going to add an extra game and an extra bye?
Right.
So
you get two extra weeks of watching regular season football.
Right. And it's going to be more important because, you know, you want to, instead of having one seed with a bye, you've got, or two seeds with a bye, you've got one in each conference. So you're going to get more important football played by teams that probably have more injuries because you're playing 17 regular
season
games.
That's where I was going. No bye week. You just keep playing. Everybody gets hurt. You expand the roster. Guys' arms and legs are falling off, and the owners just keep making more money.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
So big changes. I mean, there could be a new baseball format.
Will we still have a bye week?
You have two.
You're going to play 17 games over 19 weeks.
Just do away with the bye weeks and just keep playing.
Just think about it. Like right now, the NFL season is 17 weeks. Regular season next year, possibly
19
weeks.
There's big news happening, Mark. Big news.
And Blackhawks play tonight.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Mark Jean Greco brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Simply the best. LaSalle in the River, David Flom, and Matty Moore are going to treat you like they treated all the NBA stars who came in.
They owned NBA All-Star Week.
Yeah, and they roll out the red carpet for all of our listeners. I just got a message from a listener who I need to respond. I think it's our buddy Tony, Tartan Tony, I think, emailed me about going to Chicago Cut for their 25-year anniversary.
It's like David Flom sitting next to Barkley. Chuck sitting next to Blago. Same thing.
Lucas Giolito, who was Can't Miss Radio, talked about the Astros scandal and when he pitched in a game and he heard the garbage cans being banged.
Should use that on your 10 o'clock news on your sports.
Coming up in 2 minutes, and then Jonathan Hood is live and local at 7 o'clock. Thanks to Adam Abdallah and Jeff Meller for Markey and Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
Was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.